Phoenix FM.
I'm joined by the leader of Brentwood Council, and it is Chris Hossack. Good morning. How are you doing, Chris?
Hi, Michelle. I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. And a beautiful sunny day today as well.
I can't see a single cloud from where I'm sitting, so that's pretty good, isn't it?
We would have seen in the news about the variant of COVID-19 that was been found in CM13. So have you got a little bit of an update of what's happening with that and the containing and testing?
Yeah, so there was a single case identified in Hutton, which is largely the CM13 postcode, and that sort of swung into action this week. We've been contacting residents, and what I will say, Michelle, when it says CM13, there is a defined area within CM13, so not everybody who lives in a CM13 postcode will have been contacted or received a letter, because I had a couple of instances of that, so people are aware, if they're sitting there thinking I'm CM13 but didn't get a letter, it's likely because you're not in the defined area within CM13. Mm. However, it was a large part of CM13. So that swung into action beginning of this week. We had a huge amount of help, as usual, from our volunteers that, we've got a situation like this where you need, many hands to the pump. That's when these guys really kick in. And, all the usual volunteers, Brentwood Mutual Aid, etc., have really supplied some good numbers in helping us get the literature out and stuff like that. Mm. So all that has happened, making people aware of the situation, inviting them to get tested, and I believe that is well underway and it's working well. I've heard no other news to say there's issues. I've had no update to suggest that the variant is spreading.
Yep.
So, so far, all I can tell you is the reaction to it has been positive. It's been strong. In terms of getting the message out, the reaction has been good from the public in terms of getting tested. And of course, many of the vulnerable in that area, over the older age categories already had their first vaccination anyway. I think that's going really well.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed it's under control and we're responding in the right way and the public is responding in the right way.
And can I just here as well at the Brentwood Centre, there's people coming in for vaccination all the time. Yeah. That's going really well, isn't it?
It is. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but proportion of how many people, I think they're due out for me later this afternoon. Mm. It's normally the end of the week I get them.
Yeah.
But the take-up is fantastic. And, as we all know, we've started with the most vulnerable, typically the eldest first, and then you work from the top down. And the take-up's been very good. I think the majority of people in those categories have now been vaccinated and we're slowly working our way down. They haven't got to the 40-somethings yet, so I haven't received my letter or my invitation to get vaccinated. But the way it's going, as we know, I think the government is saying the bulk of the population will be vaccinated sort of by mid to late summer, so I think it's really positive.
Now, another great bit of news is the council tax. So tell us about the good news.
Yeah, so, well, this week is for local government across the country has been budget-setting week. And it's been a very challenging time for councils across the country to set their budget because, off the back of the year we've had, it's been, like never before. And a lot of councils have been hard hit. The government have been shelling out literally trillions to prop up communities and in some cases propping up councils. Yeah. Fortunately, Brentwood wasn't one of those. So we've had to look at this in a way that we've never looked at it before, certainly not for many, many, many years. And my view is simple. What we need to do is we accept that the public are under pressure. People have lost their jobs. People are on furlough. Times are hard. Businesses are closed. Many businesses in Brentwood, Brentwood residents have not been able to open. Mm. So I wanted to keep the financial burden to an absolute minimum. So we're not proposing any council tax increase at all this year.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely the right thing to do.
And there's no cut to services. How does that work? I mean, where is the, because obviously increases every year. How is that going to work?
In what sense?
Meaning that you've got no cuts to any of the services.
No, I mean, so what that means is, the typical thing that gets brought up, and I get bored of hearing about it, is are we going to go to bi-weekly black bag collection? And it gets talked about. A lot of councils have done it, and you hear these horror stories of councils in the far-flung parts of the country where they collect your rubbish once every... We're not going to do that. We always collect the rubbish weekly, and we're going to carry on doing that.
Mm.
And we're not cutting back on, the way we look after the street scene, grass cutting, other bits, all the bits and pieces we get involved in, but the obvious ones are waste collection.
Yeah.
All of that stays as it is. We're not changing our rotors. We're not changing our litter patrols. We're not changing our grass cutting rotors. So all of these frontline services that you see,
yeah,
we're going to carry on with. And in fact, what I want to do is more than that, is I'm going to invest in, or we are investing in, a couple of street scenes sort of supervisors, so that when the guys are out there doing that work, you know, in the community, the stuff, the visual stuff that gets done, we just want to make sure that that's done to the right standard, and it's done to good effect, and we're making progress when the guys are out there every day doing what they do. So I'm, in a sense, I'm not really not cutting, we're not not cutting the service, but we're actually investing in it.
Yeah.
You know, we need to invest in our planning enforcement team. We've got a two-man team. It's only small at Brentwood, but they're under massive pressure because we get a lot of issues in Greenbelt with illegal development. So we need to bolster that team. So in actual fact, we're not only not cutting, we're investing in staff to try and enhance what we do in some of the key pressure areas that we've got.
Yeah.
So it's good news.
Sorry, go ahead, go on.
I mean, one of the other big things that we've done in this, and it's a sensitive thing to do, but if you look at the state of the economy and you look at where a lot of people are at with their own personal finances, the other thing we felt it was absolutely right to do, two things, is... you know, our staff have worked really, really hard this year in this organisation, harder than you know, ever, if you like, for the last few years, with all the additional pressure of COVID, you know, dealing with things like the CM13 South African variant that just comes out of the blue and you've got to deal with it on top of everything else you're doing, for example. But we've agreed to pause their pay award. Normally, I mean, the way it works is the unions will put a pay claim in and they'll start to negotiate with local authorities.
Mm.
And we've paused that because, you know, whilst people have lost their jobs, I don't think it's good for a council to be announcing that everybody here's got a pay award.
No.
And that's a sensitive thing to do because I'm doing it in the backdrop of the staff working hard. But the staff live in the real world as well. They know people are finding it hard.
Yeah.
And they accept it. And, you know, credit to them. They're just carrying on with the job they've done. They've worked full on last year. Long hours, but they understand that in local government there's a responsibility to be taken. We're part of the community and the community's suffering, so fair play to them. And alongside that, I've rounded down the member allowances as well. You know, we should be leading from the front as councillors. There's no way our allowance is going up, and in fact it's gone down.
Yeah.
So that's some of the things we're trying to do to set the right tone so that we demonstrate as a council that we're in it with the community.
Yes.
We know times are hard. And we're not going to be showing ourselves as being detached from that.
Yep, absolutely. Well done. That's really good news. Now, the we were talking just off air about the budget 2021. So just run through a few bits, because you've got the growing of the economy, you've got to protect the environment and housing, etc. So just run through a few of those bits for us.
So the economy piece is absolutely key, isn't it? And I touched on it in what we're talking about, the hardship that we're in at the moment, and a lot of particularly our local businesses, and particularly the ones we recognise that have not been able to open. You know, very, very well-known businesses around the borough. The hairdressers, for example, that people are so used to using that we just can't use at the moment. And the government are going to continue to provide money to support them while they're closed, but when they open, we need to make things easy as possible. So just one example, there's a lot we're doing, but one of the things we're doing is investing £35,000 in what I'm calling digital retail recovery.
Mm.
So I'll give you one example. There's a website called Click It Local. We've put £20,000 into that to subscribe that website and subsidise for the first 2 months. With local businesses in Brentwood, the ability to basically put their shop on this platform online.
Right.
So how does that work? It's like, think of it as Amazon. But if I'm sitting here now thinking, right, oh, it's my mum's birthday, I can get me flowers from the florist in Hutton, I can get her some chocolates from the, you know, the chocolate shop, or whatever you call it, in Brentwood High Street, and I can get her something from, whatever it might be, the card from the lady in Shenfield, yeah?
Mm.
And I can put all that into a basket, so I've bought local, it's gone in the basket in the same way as you do it on Amazon,
yep.
And then actually I can pay a fee to have it delivered, and then, you know, the delivery would go from Brentwood to Shenfield to Wingatestone to my house or to my mum's house and drop the flowers and the card and the chocolates off.
Yeah.
So it's local Amazon. It's called Click It Local.
Mm-hmm.
There's more information coming out in the press releases and our business newsletter updates.
Yeah.
But that, where people have got used to buying online, that's fine. If you need to do it, do it. But please do it locally, and that's what we're trying to enable. So that's a big step forward for us. Click It Local. you'll see that roll out over the coming year, and it's basically Brentwood High Street Amazon, let's call it that way.
Would a local, just say if it's somebody that sells or does sort of TVs and audio visual, would they have to pay a fee to go on? How does it work? Have you got any more details or how does it work?
So for the first 2 months, I say we've subsidised. I did have an email address, and I'm looking for it, and I haven't got it in front of me. If you email business@brentwood.gov.uk, they will point you in the right direction. Laurie and the team will point you in the right direction. There was another email address. I can click it local, but I can't think. Assuming the email address is flying around, I can't think off the top of my head what it is.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Business@Brentwood and Laurie will point you in the right direction. You know, you'll go. You've basically, as I say, we've subsidised for the first 2 months for businesses to register and get online with this on this platform. And depending on different things, you know, delivering a bunch of flowers is different to delivering a 42-inch flat-screen TV. Mm. So however the costs work for delivery, in those circumstances, would have to be worked out. But all of that can be done by contacting us. We'll point you in a direction to click it local. Get yourselves on the platform, and then you're in that online marketplace for Brentwood, and hopefully that really helps local people buy locally. But by still doing it online, if they so wish, frankly, be nice when the lockdown ends to see the high street physically busy again.
Yeah.
But we just have to accept there are different ways that different people choose to shop. Mm. Some people will probably remain nervous after lockdown. That's fine. But here's a platform to still help you shop local.
Mm. I think a lot of people are going to be running down the high street, to be honest, as soon as we're allowed to do it and get outside again. I can't wait for the pubs to be open.
And break through, don't they? They really do.
Yeah, see your friends. What about improving housing?
So housing is a big thing for us. You know, there's the ongoing work that we need to do around our own council house stock. That's an ongoing programme of work that we pump millions into every year. It's just the nature of it when you've got 2,500 homes. But of course, and we've probably talked about it before, but we need to, if you look at our council house waiting list, if you look at the issues around affordability, if you look at the issues around the need to grow housing and provide more housing, our local plan's being worked on at the moment. Hopefully that will go through. But we need to build more council's housing stock. And we're starting that with our Brookfield Close project in Hutton. That's 61 carbon zero homes, actually. It's the first of its kind of that scale in Essex, I'm informed. Mm. And it's just demonstrating our commitment to regenerate some of the old stock we've got. Frankly, some of it is well past its sell-by date, as it is in this case. And we're going to build new. Now, there's some logistics around that because you've got existing tenants and existing property, even though, you know, it's past its sell-by date. We still need to, there's a bit of decanting, as we call it, to take place while we do the rebuild. But the bottom line is we want to provide the best accommodation for our tenants, and we accept that in a lot of cases we absolutely need to do some fundamental regeneration work. So we're going to establish a pipeline of 300 new homes, starting with 61 of those at Brookfield Close.
Right, okay. Now, the environment.
Yes.
What's happening there?
So, I mean, it's the word on everybody's lips, isn't it? In fact, I just came off a call talking to somebody about solar farm somewhere in Brentwood. We'll see where that goes. But, you know, there's lots of pressure to reduce carbon emissions, and where we can't reduce them, the other end of the approach is to absorb carbon emissions through tree planting. So we're going to continue our direction of travel with the rollout of electric vehicle charging. There's a project starting at the town hall within the next few weeks to put another 20 in place. As you know, we've got our own fleet at the town hall, and we've got, and the police are based at the town halls. Well, they've got their own fleet.
Yep.
We know that the vehicle fleets are going to change. They're all going to go down the electric vehicle route. They have to, because by 2030 you can't buy a petrol or a diesel engine car anyway. So we need to make sure the infrastructure's in place at the town hall to keep our fleet on the road. So we're doing that, and then we'll continue to roll that out beyond the town hall. There's a massive project to be done in terms of getting the charging infrastructure in place.
Yeah,
we started that last year. We'll continue it and grow it in the coming year. We need to, you know, go back to the house building. You know, we're not just going to build houses and put gas boilers in. We need to put really good quality renewable energy heat sources into those buildings. Not only is that good for the environment, but actually it's good for the tenants, because if the cost of heating your home is less for the lifetime that you're in the home, then that's absolutely what we should be doing. And the good news is we joined the Thames Chase Partnership late last year, and we've already secured £24,000 in funding to go out and plant 6,000 trees. And now that the weather's turning, and hopefully we're coming through to a point where the lockdown restrictions will be eased off, we can actually start that tree planting scheme in earnest.
Yes.
So we're going to start with 6,000 trees across 4 hectares of parkland in Brentwood, and we'll carry on and do that. I'd love to see us get 10,000 trees in the ground by the end of this year.
Mm.
So there's lots going on around the climate side of protecting the environment, but not forgetting that a big part of the environment is the things we have to deal with every day, like litter, like fly tipping.
Yeah.
Our car parking is a fundamental part of the environment, and we need to make sure we complete our car park strategy review this year as well.
Mm.
So there's lots going on, but it's a big investment for us. We've got to put in about 1.5 million of capital into environmental schemes.
Yeah.
And that's both climate-based environment and place-based environment as well.
Now, you're always very keen to talk about the efficiency of the council and how they deliver projects, etc. So what's going to be going on there?
Well, the efficiency side of the councils are absolutely, the KISS council is absolutely critical, but if I'm honest, between you and me, Michelle, don't tell me, it's a bit boring because it's the back of house stuff, the office stuff that we do. It's, how do we administrate our Revs and Bens side of things, which is have a really busy time this year? How do we process, the legal work that we have to do, all of that back office stuff? So all that will go on, but we need to look at ways to do that more effectively and more efficiently. We're going to conduct an organisational review. All that will continue. We've started it already for the last couple of years, but we need to push on with making £0.4 million worth of savings in our organisational review. So that's looking at who does what, looking at different levels of resourcing in different parts of the organisation, actually looking at things and continue to do it the way we do it with Basildon. We have a partnership working with the Revs and Bens team with Basildon.
Mm.
That means we don't need to employ, for example, round numbers 20 people here to do it. If we can employ 10 here and use the other 10 at Basildon. And we'll always seek opportunities to do that. And that's purely around keeping costs to a minimum.
Yeah.
And it's only by doing that can we do things like we've done this year, which is, you can't deliver a 0% council tax increase if you can't afford to do it.
Mm.
So it's absolutely key that we strike a really fine balance between keeping tax low, between keeping maintaining frontline services, that i.e. what the public see. They don't see what happens behind the scenes. But also, actually the other key part of it as well is the way that we invest our money and keeping our balance, our reserves, as strong as they can be. Because if you haven't got that in place, you cannot afford to simply deliver 0% council tax.
Mm.
And because we've done that well in the last year and we'll continue to do it well in the coming year, we can afford to keep council tax low and afford to keep the show on the road with all our frontline services as they were, if not investing in them. So I don't know if that's a bit of a gabble really, but do I really want to talk on the radio about agile working and the legal services review? I don't want your listeners turning off.
No.
But trust us, we'll deal with all that. Doing all that, and that's what we have to do. The other part of it from the efficiency point of view, whilst it's absolutely worth mentioning that whilst COVID, a lot of people have been driven to working from home. In fact, the majority, not just in the council, of course, but across the world, frankly. Mm. People who work in office-based environments. Yeah, whilst there's challenges around that, it also gives a great opportunity to drive through efficiencies. So we can learn from that as well. We need to support our staff further in their home working effort. As the lockdown comes off, people are going to want to get into the office because they like mixing with their colleagues and fellow human beings. That's what we're built and designed to do. So we should do that.
Mm.
But where possible, if we can save a journey or get 3 meetings in a day as opposed to 2 because we're not travelling, and that's all good for efficiency. So we'll continue to try and maintain some of the dark cloud of COVID and take the silver lining from it as we go forward, support the staff and drive through efficiencies and agile working as best we can. And all of that should add up to an improved bottom line.
Developing communities, we're coming up very shortly to the news, so we've got a couple more bits to fit in. So tell us about developing communities. That was in the budget as well.
Again, Yeah, look, that's what we call it. But developing communities is all, that's again a very visual side of things. That's what we do. A lot of the leisure strategy stuff, the parks, the play areas, which you know we're doing a huge amount of work with there. King George's has commenced. Despite COVID, we've got everything in order, and we still started in the beginning of this year. We're still in a Tier 5 lockdown, and we've started the work. So we know we're going to come out of lockdown, and we need to make sure that when we do, we've got really good parks and play areas for people to use in a safe way. So that's going to carry on. The Brentwood Centre, as you know, I think where you're sitting now, you know, we went through that saga of it being closed. We reopened it, refreshed it, and reopened it by the beginning of December, as we promised we would do. And then, of course, we went into lockdown 2 weeks later, and it's still closed. But it will reopen again, and there's a whole load of stuff we need to do there to commit to keep the Brentwood Centre as a central leisure venue and a sport venue. Mm. But we want to do more than that.
Yep.
You know, you and I know, Michelle, that in many places the Brentwood Centre is tired. It's 35-plus years old.
Yep.
So we've got to invest in that in a significant way, and we're developing a business plan to do that at the moment.
Mm.
And then, of course, as well, all the great things we used to do around Strawberry Fair, to Remembrance Parade, to lighting up Brentwood.
Yeah.
You know, last year they were all off.
Mm.
We did them digitally. And we'll do that digitally again if we have to, or online.
Mm.
But, you know, let's hope as the year goes on and the lockdown restrictions ease, we'll start to interact with our community in a way that... or interact amongst ourselves in a way that we always used to enjoy, which is out and about in the sunshine, having a beer, having a bowl of strawberries and whatever else we used to do. Now, we'll have to just wait and see how the vaccination program rolls out and how the infection rate comes down.
Yeah.
But whatever happens, we will still lay on community events this year. If we have to adapt, we will. If we can do them in the traditional way that we all enjoy the most, then that's absolutely what we intend to do. And we're not cutting that back in any way, shape or form.
Now, we're going to finish on the Brentwood Business Showcase.
Right. Okay. So Brentwood Business Showcase is something that we laid on traditionally every year. The Brentwood School would be the host for that. And we used to run that every October.
Mm.
Of course, we couldn't run it again last year.
Yeah.
So we wanted to change the format of that. And again, it's a difficult time because what I really wanted to do was pull it forward to July and do it in the summertime.
Yeah.
Make it expand the number of exhibitors and businesses that came along, bring the health and wellbeing sector into it, bring the entertainment sector into it, bring the sort of the restaurant and the, I can't think what you call that sector, but you know, the food sector into it as well. So we could really expand the showcase of Brentwood businesses. I wanted to do that in July, but I'm not quite sure. You know, it's going to cut it fine, whether we can do that in July.
Mm.
But as I said, in the background, the whole team are working away on revising that business case at the moment.
Yeah.
So we want to relaunch it after COVID has closed us down. We want to relaunch it differently. Whether we can achieve that by the summertime this year is a question mark for obvious reasons. But we'll do something this year. That's part of our economic recovery. We need to start pulling that business community together again. We need to start collectively thinking and collaborating on how we can all pull together to drive business forward, to win new customers, to retain customers, bring customers back that have been away, make Brentwood an attractive place to come and do business and invest in. So we need to get that show back on the road, and that's all part of our recovery effort as well.